Welcome to a special emergency edition, free agency edition, Tom Brady edition of the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. Visit them at BillCurryFord.com. Now, Ira Kaufman, Lee D. Kemper, they are together for this podcast. And even though they're in isolation with the coronavirus stuff going on, Ira, of course, is 93 years old and can't take any risks. But the podcast will go on, and they were committed to getting this done last night, so you could have it this morning, and we appreciate that. Now, another thing we really appreciate at JoeBucksFan.com is all of our local readers, and we are a local business, but our local advertisers that help keep the site running. Bill Curry Ford is open for business, and this is an amazing time to buy a vehicle because interest rates are quite low. There are loads of 0% offers right now at BillCurryFord.com. The dealership just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway is open and ready for business. General Manager Sean Sullivan will take care of you personally. You can call him, you can email him, and you can just head down to the dealership and get top-notch service. They are waiting for you, BillCurryFord.com. Also, Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Beer, brewed right in Clearwater, across Florida, fantastic craft beers, the Wavemaker Amber Ale, the Bromosa, the Tropic Pressure Pale Ale. These are fantastic beers among many, many others that you can find at BigStormBrewery.com, and there you can see the storm tracker of where to buy the beer in your community. But the Big Storm Tap Rooms in Odessa and the flagship location in Clearwater, they're open for business, open for takeout food, and to stock up on beer. Support them. It means a lot. And you know what's going on in the world right now. And we are rooting for our local advertisers and supporters. Pin Chasers Bowling Alley in Tampa, they are closed now. They are closed right now to protect the community from the possibility of spreading coronavirus. And we'll have more information when they reopen. And our hearts go out to the employees of Pin Chasers. And we know that they'll be back stronger than ever when they return. So, let me take you out to the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, who just adores his cherry red 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford, but he has got a lot to say. Enjoy.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's an emergency podcast. It's a special edition of the one and only, the custodian of Canton, the king of Pasco County, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. He's Uncle Ira. It's Ira Kaufman Podcast. Ira, this is St. Patrick's Day. I think none of us will forget. I mean, there's the coronavirus. There's everybody staying home. There's people that are quarantined. There's self-isolation. The Bucks get the best, if not the best, quarterbacks who ever lived. You know, he's 43. He's Tom Brady. Your reaction on this important and unforgettable day in Bucks history.
It really is, Lee. You're not exaggerating. I mean, it appears, as we're taping this, that the Bucks have pushed Tom Brady across the goal line at Raymond James Stadium. A lot of people were skeptical that he would ever leave New England. Your listeners know that I've been consistent for months now that I thought he was going to leave the Patriots. And I think the culprit, if there is one, is Belichick, because I think Brady was kind of looking for some public affirmation from Belichick that he wanted him back, and it never came. It never came. And I think if it did, Brady'd still be in Foxborough, and there'd be a chance that James Winston'd still be a Buccaneer. Lee, this is one of the biggest days in franchise history. Phones ringing off the hook at the Buck ticket office, which they're probably working out of a remote location. Lee, I think one Buck place has kind of been shut down, except for the executive suite where Bruce Arians is huddled with Jason Light, and the Glazers have to be there on hand. What a day for this franchise, Lee. Instant national relevance. Now, Lee, it does not guarantee that they're going to win 11 games and make the playoffs next year. Let's get that out straight, and I think you'd agree with that. But a lot is going to change, and I'll tell you one thing that's going to change. When you and I get up to the press box in September for a regular season game, we're going to look out, we're going to say, boy, we haven't seen the stands packed this good, and the suites are filled, and that's a byproduct of having Tom Brady. Lee, the casual, and this is, I think, critical. Look, the Bucks are always going to have their diehards, Lee. It's a football town. People love their Bucks. But Brady He kind of soars above everything, and he's going to bring in the casual fan, and I think that's going to be critical, Lee. I think Brady is one of those guys. Phillip Rivers is not. There aren't many. Cam Newton is not. Bridgewater is not. There's only one Tom Brady, Lee. Now, Brett Favre, you know, and that's painful memory for me in 2009, but if he would have came in, you would have seen those fans packed. Brady's an iconic figure, Lee. There's no getting around it. 6 Super Bowl rings. A lot of people put him number one all time. That's a debate for another day. One thing you're not going to argue with is whoever presents Brady for the Hall of Fame, you know, 8 years from now is going to stand up and say Tom Brady and sit his ass down. And that's what he should do. We don't need any debate on number 12. And I don't want to hear any nonsense about the, Chris Godwin's got to give up his number. That could be a problem. What? What are you talking about? You know, the first time Godwin ever shakes hands with Brady, you should hand him the number 12 uniform. Yeah, this belongs to you. I mean, there's no debate. So, Lee, you can't overstate the importance of this date in franchise history. Is it going to work? You and I don't know that. But it's a move for the short term. Nobody can deny that. Arians won't be here, you know, in 6 years. And Brady won't be here in 4 years. And it's short term. Doesn't mean they shouldn't draft the quarterback, Lee. But I'll tell you one thing. Personally speaking, your traffic's about to go up exponentially, my friend.
Initially, and this is just me, I'm cynical. I'm a firm believer that, you know, we don't live in the 70s anymore. And attendance is not that important anymore. And for people who scoff at that, I advise them to go ahead and Google NFL gross revenue attendance or gate, and you might be shocked to see how little NFL teams pull in from the gate, compared to TV network money revenue. And we saw how the NFL really put a push on getting this CBA done because they were hoping to, you know, get the ball rolling on new TV network contracts. And then the coronavirus hit. But so maybe you're right. You know, I'm cynical, and I know how Florida is about going to games. It's not getting any better. It won't get any better. But then on Twitter, on social media, I noticed there's a lot of Patriots fans where all of a sudden they're interested in the Bucs. And we know that there's a lot of transplants in Florida from New England. So maybe that will be the case. Maybe with a re-energized Bucs fan base, and combined with the curiosity factor, as you mentioned, with the transplants to New England. And there's also an element in there. Now, Jameis was not a popular player. He wasn't popular from day one. And if Jameis would still be with the Bucs and only have 5 picks, even with 30 touchdowns or 33 touchdowns and his league-leading passing, 5,100 yards, he still wouldn't be popular. There's a lot of people, they hated Jameis from the word go, and that all goes back to, you know, the shenanigans in college. And so he was not a popular player, even though, you know, if you would have, again, take away the picks, and he may have marched him to the playoffs, he still wouldn't have been popular. Brady obviously is popular. And to get to your attendance thing about how he's galvanized the fan base, and they may pack the place, both suites and seats, I was listening to Nick Wright. I went out for dinner tonight. And I guess, sorry, Trump, I did. I left my house. First time in a few days, but I went out to grab some dinner, just takeout, and bring it back. And it's the first time I ate all day. I've been that busy, and I didn't even notice that I was that busy. And like, oh my gosh, it's 7 o'clock. I haven't had anything to eat. So anyway, I came back, and I was listening to the radio. I have SiriusXM. I was listening to Nick Wright, who has a show on Mad Dog Radio, and he said, I never thought of this way, and he said, the biggest loser in all of this Isn't the Patriots, isn't Belichick, isn't the Bucs for losing Jameis, or, you know, some say, you know, 43-year-old quarterback, that's a negative right there. I understand that. But he said the biggest loser is CBS, because CBS will no longer be televising Brady games, NFC. And I never thought of it that way, but that sort of backs up what you're saying. There's relevancy now, but, you know, there's interest. There's international interest, not just national, because of Brady's wife, because of his name. And so, yeah, the stadium may sell. I'm cynical. I'm in a, you know, I'll see it when I believe it. I really am. But I think you might be on to something, Ira. I got to give you credit.
You know, Lee, as I said to the Mad Dog today, and I was a guest on Chris Russo, Channel 82, Sirius XM Radio, as I said, if the Glazers can close this deal, all of a sudden, Lee, when you and I get to the stadium on Sundays, we might have traded in Dick Stockton for Troy Aikman. How do you like that, the Kemper?
Thank goodness. I have nothing personally against Dick Stockton, but he was a fossil 10 years ago, and now, I mean, yes, Bucks fans can now be content. I think we've seen and heard our last of Dick Stockton for a while calling Bucks games.
And Lee, one point you and I haven't made, you know, we talked about Brady and the casual fan and this and that, but obviously, you know, the main focus is on winning. And
yeah.
Lee, he's the ultimate winner. Doesn't mean he's going to win here, but if he does, first of all, can you imagine what that would mean for Brady's legacy, as if they needed another chapter? But it would be an incredible chapter of ending a franchise's 12-year playoff drought without Belichick. I mean, that would be a fantastic another part of the Brady story. But, Lee, you know this. When you win, as the Bucks did from 97 through 2002, everything changes. Merchandise sales, Lee, through the roof. Jerseys all over town, not just Brady, but people who want to be associated. You know, you'll have Devin White jerseys and Vita Vea jerseys, Godwin and Evans, and more so than you see them now.
Dare I say a Matt Gay jersey might be seen?
Maybe ripped. If it's ripped, you know, you can see it. If it's got a little a short little rip in it, you know that it's a Matt Gay jersey. Lee, everything would change if this team could win, even if it's for a two-year period, Lee, even a two-year window under Brady. I'm still adamant that they should groom a young quarterback, and I'm not talking about you, Blaine Gabbert, or anybody else that's currently under Buck contract. I'm talking about a third-round draft pick that Bruce Arians picks. And, Lee, one thing that I want to add, and I think you'd shake your head in agreement, good teamwork from a Buck perspective, and here's what I mean. Bruce Arians wanted Tom Brady. That's not conjecture. You were there when he said it. He said it more than once, and the first time he said it, you were standing 10 feet from him.
Yeah, Steve Isbeth.
So,
my co-conspirator, a Joe Buck fan, it was Steve Isbeth who asked him that question, and he responded, Tom Brady.
And probably broke NFL protocol doing it, but nobody's going to find him. All right, so he wanted Brady. Now here come the Glazers. Well, what are the Glazers about right now? Making Bruce Arians happy. They're not turning their back on Bruce Arians. He's their guy. Still very much their guy after a 7-9 season. And what's the third component? Jason Light, can you help make this happen? And it appears he did with the money and the conditions. And Lee, let's not have anybody kid ourselves. Tom Brady is not going to run the Bucks draft whenever that occurs. Tom Brady is not going to go out and get the right tackle for this team. But at the same time, Lee, and I can just see you shaking your head, Tom Brady is going to be a voice in the room. You know it, and I know it. He's not going to usurp Jason Light's role or his power or his job, but he's going to have a large part of shaping the Buck offense, Lee. And some of the personnel moves, like suppose they want a veteran running back. I think Brady would have a little input there. Maybe not on a rookie running back. You know, he's not going to be sitting there studying film with Jonathan Taylor or Cam Akers. But, Lee, he's going to have a significant voice, especially the way that the 2020 Buck offense operates.
Earlier this week, Ira, I read something where they were linking Melvin Gordon. They thought Melvin Gordon was his expected top three landing spots. One of them was the Bucks. And there's some, Michael Silver has some rumor that perhaps Todd Gurley could be going to the Bucks in a trade. That sounds a little suspicious. But here we've heard Bruce Arians for the better part of a year, over a year. Now, I'm not going to spend big on a running back. I'm not going to draft a running back high. You know, that's the position. I don't believe it. You know, it's too expensive. I'm not going to do it. Then at the combine last month, he referred to his running backs as solid. You know, he's always been the running backs. The only time I've ever seen Bruce Arians get remotely upset with a reporter is when the gentleman from Sarasota, he's a high school coach. He works at Sickles. He's also a teacher. He asked Bruce Arians about the underwhelming running backs, and that got Arians hacked off. And that happened last Leo Haggerty.
Leo Haggerty. Yep.
And that got Arians, that got under his skin. He got hacked off. I've never seen him get hacked off at a reporter before. That got him ticked off. But everybody and their brother could see the Bucs running backs as a group just stink. They downright stink. And Arians has always been stubborn. No, 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 they're good. They do. They're solid. They're what we want to be. All of a sudden, these running backs are being rumored to the Bucs. Do you think Brady, when he was talking turkey with Arians about coming to Tampa Bay, he basically told Arians, look, you got to do something about the running backs or you're wasting your time with me?
I think everything has changed with Brady's arrival in that regard, Lee. Everything. And I'm not sure I believe what Arians and the regime was trying to say. That I'm not sure they believed it either, that they were set at running back. But now, whether they believe it or not, here comes Brady, who's used to a pretty good ground game, especially guys that can catch the ball. And I don't mean you, Ronald Jones, even though he improved in that regard. Lee, I'm not overwhelmed by Gordon or Gurley. I don't know how you feel. Gordon, to me, might be a little bit of a problem in the locker room. I also watched him. I also looked at his – well, he was disgruntled with the Chargers, talked his way off the team for half the season, and that's letting your teammates down. And I've been looking at his yards per carry. It's not very good. Most of the time he's under 4 yards. I mean, you know, that's Peyton Barber territory, Lee. And now he's got good hands out of the backfield, but the Chargers had to make a call between him and Austin Eckler. They chose Eckler, and Eckler's a heck of a back. As far as Gurley's concerned, I am not sure he's ever going to be back to his old, you know, all-pro form. And he's going to cost money. So is Gordon. Lee, I just as soon draft a running back. Back to Cam Akers, somebody like that. Or, Lee, I think Brady would have a little bit of input in terms of maybe a running back that he's worked with in Foxborough. And I think almost as important as running the ball is what kind of hands the guy's got, because Brady is the master of play action and throwing to his backs. Look what he did with James White in New England. It was crazy. Every time it was 3rd and 7, you know, White's catching a 9-yard pass, and the sticks are moving. I mean, it was phenomenal. That was a huge part of New England's offense. And speaking of that, Lee, and I'll toss this over to you. Tom Brady is used to throwing to one of the greatest tight ends in the league's 100-year history, Rob Gronkowski, who's going to end up in Canton, and deservedly so, even though he didn't have a long career. He was the best at his position for a long time. Lee, now Brady arrives at $1. He's got Cam Brady. He's got O.J. Howard. He's got a coach who does not have a history of utilizing tight ends in a big way in their offense. I think that's about to change too, Lee. And I think Arians is flexible enough. Let's not paint Arians as a guy that says my way or the highway. This is Tom Brady. This is the guy he picked, Lee. He picked him. So to think that he and Brady are going to be at odds on what kind of offense they're going to construct here, that's a bunch of nonsense. They are going to get their heads together and get this thing right.
You use the term flexible enough in regarding Arians listening to Brady. I will use the term smart enough. I think he's smart enough to listen to Brady. I don't know about the flexibility part, but he's smart enough. I had someone ask me this, and I think this person was onto something, and it was about tight ends. If O.J. Howard can't do anything this year with Brady, it's probably he can't do anything, period, and it would be time to move on after the 2020 season. He basically said it's now or never with O.J. Howard. Is that a fair assumption?
I think that's absolutely fair, and I'll take it a step further, Lee. I would not be shocked, and neither should you, if Cam Brate emerges as a major weapon for the Bucs this fall. And I don't care that he wasn't a first-round draft pick and Howard was. None of that's going to matter. Brate doesn't drop a football. He dropped one ball, and everybody in the press box was shocked, and it was a big one. He had a big drop last year. But he doesn't drop a ball. He knows how to get open. He's a heck of a red zone weapon. I think Brady will flourish with Tom Brady, and I'll stake my reputation on that, my friend.
I was going to use the word in relation to Brady and Brady. I was going to say Cam Brady's career will be reawakened.
Well said, my friend. Well said. And Lee, you know, you follow Twitter. I don't remember who it was. It might have been more than one person was kind of speculating. Oh, wait a minute. Brady always talks up Antonio Brown. Maybe he wants to bring – that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, Lee. Let's put that to bed. That's not going to happen. If I'm Arians and Light, I will not let that happen. Absolutely not.
Well, there's two people in Boston, one of which – I know he covers the Bruins, okay? NHL, we're not talking NHL. I get it. But he also co-hosts a radio show on WEEI, which is like their sports blowtorch of New England.
And that's the station. That's the station, Lee. That's the station Brady goes on every week. Every week he goes on that station.
That's right, Monday mornings. That's right. He goes on WEEI, and as a co-host on. I don't know if he co-hosted Brady's show, but he works there. He's an on-air guy. He said, "Don't be surprised if Antonio Brown sniffed around." And I can't remember who else. I don't know if it was Shaughnessy. Somebody else out of Boston said the same thing. And I do know that Brady in the past has really talked up Antonio Brown. Now, I'm like you. I think Antonio Brown's a nutcase. And then someone, you know, this was floating around Twitter for a while, you know, these rumors about Antonio Brown. And someone said, no, keep him out of the locker room. He'll be a cancer. And my reply to that was, I think Mr. Brady can handle a locker room.
Lee, they don't need him. That's the point. They don't need him. They don't need him.
Rather than bring Antonio Brown in, unless Brady specifically wants him, or that was part of the deal, like, if you get Brown, I'll come. If you don't get Brown, I'm not coming. If you're thinking of Antonio Brown, why not just pair him? Perriman's already proven on your team. He's probably going to be cheaper. He's not a pain in the neck. He produced last year in Arians' offense. Why not stick with Perriman and
you know,
and bite that nutcase into your locker room?
There's not, you know, Lee, it makes no sense for another reason besides Brown's, you know, we don't want another Swaggy Baker situation.
Yeah.
2 points. One, Brown could not handle Schuster taking some of his balls in Pittsburgh, so how's that going to work out when he's got two stud receivers ahead of him, not just one? And number two, the idea with Tom Brady is not to bring in a guy who's going to throw the ball 44 times a game. That's silly. Bolster the running game. He's tremendous in play action. He loves to throw to the tight ends and running backs. And that doesn't suit a team with three potential Pro Bowl wide receivers. It doesn't make any sense, Lee.
Do you, Ira, think that Bucks fans, or for that matter, like Arians and the Glazer family, should be concerned with Brady's ability to withstand punishment? And last year, Jameis, who's, you know, more mobile than he gets credit for.
Yep.
He had 103 quarterback hits. Not counting sacks, just hits. 103 quarterback hits. I want to say that was fifth most. That was tied for fifth most in the NFL. Do you have any concern that a 43-year-old body will be able to absorb that amount of hits?
I would have a big concern, Lee, if, and it's a big if Arians continues his downfield-oriented attack and with four or five receivers out on the patterns and a minimum amount of protection, and the idea is you're my quarterback and you have to stand in and take the hit. That would be a major concern, Lee. But, again, it goes back to one main point I keep making. He's the guy that Arians picked. Arians is no dummy, and Arians knows the strength of Tom Brady through 20 years of watching him. And one of his great strengths is he gets the ball out quick, and he doesn't take sacks. And I can't imagine that he's going to want Brady floating 45-yard seam passes, which Winston is good at. He's going to play to Brady's strengths, and in that way, I don't think he's going to take as many hits as Winston did, Lee. If Arians sticks to his guns and wants Leftwich to go downfield, even with Brady, I think that could be a recipe for disaster.
Obviously, it's St. Patrick's Day, March 17th, the day that Brady came to Tampa Bay. this is also a sad day. A sad day in the sense that the former number one, overall number one pick, a guy who at times looked like he was an elite quarterback. While everybody's jumping up and down and celebrating, and this is fantastic for the Bucks. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to paint it any other way. This is a fantastic day for the Bucks. Is there a tinge of sadness?
No question. The streak continues. Once again, a quarterback drafted by the Bucks doesn't get a long-term extension with the team. That's a failure. When you take a guy number one overall and you don't sign him to that second contract, Lee, that's a failure. Maybe it's a failure on several fronts, including the franchise. They didn't equip Winston with a solid running game. The offensive line is passable at best. Defense, until the last six games last year, for most of the 5 years, was dismal. Those are facts. I take no personal pleasure in seeing Winston depart. Lee, I loved his work ethic. I loved his competitiveness. Off the charts. Absolutely off the charts. He's got a lot of positives. But, Lee, it appears that the music has stopped and he doesn't have a chair to sit in at this point. Booger McFarland, I don't know if you saw it. I think he just tweeted, don't be shocked if Winston ends up re-signing with the Bucks to sit behind Brady. I can't see that, Lee.
I did not hear the interview, so I could be dead wrong. This is secondhand information. Adam Kaplan, you know who Adam Kaplan is, I know Ira. He used to be at ESPN, used to be at Fox. NFL insider, he's based out of Philadelphia. And that guy, number one, he works hard. I always see him at the East-West Shrine practices. He spends all week in St. Pete. He doesn't have to do that, but that's how thorough of a reporter he is. He goes there, he studies the players, he talks to the scouts, talks to the GMs, talks to some of the coaches that show up. He's that thorough. He's that well-connected. And I guess he went on local radio today, and I also assume, from what I'm hearing, he's got some sort of relationship with James. And I guess what Captain was saying, someone asked about that, the, you know, their chance James could stay as a backup, you know. And when Brady leaves, you got your starting job back. He didn't think so for obvious reasons. You know, who would do that, number one? Number two, he also said that from Jameis' point of view, or at least his camp's point of view, they thought Arians went a little bit overboard in the slurping of Tom Brady. From Jameis' camp's point of view, if not Jameis himself, it's like, I poured my heart out for you. I busted my tail, did everything you asked me to do, and then you got a schoolboy crush on Tom Brady. Couldn't you at least have kind of kept it to yourself? Couldn't you been a little more professional about it? And now I love Bruce Arians, don't get me wrong, so I'm not criticizing him here. But that's what I understand was coming from James' camp, that hurt James. And now a lot of people listening will say, grow up, big boy. Well, you know, everybody has their pride.
I think there's some legitimacy to it from the Winston camp perspective. I don't think Arians should have named Brady by name in Indianapolis. I was a little surprised he did. He didn't hesitate, did he, Lee? You were right there. He did not hesitate. Having said that, I don't see Winston being a backup to Tom Brady in Tampa. But Lee, at the same time, I think he's going to get a job. He's too talented. He's not a yearly troublemaker. He hasn't been in trouble since the Uber incident. He has matured in front of our eyes in a lot of areas. Somebody's going to want Jameis Winston. There's too much upside. He won't necessarily be a starter. But if he goes to the right team, Lee, suppose Mike Tomlin reaches out and says, hey, we want you to back up Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's no spring chicken. Suppose Roethlisberger goes down. All of a sudden, Winston's playing with a team with a good defense, a tradition for running the football. They got some weapons. They got a heck of a head coach. He could resurrect his career, Lee. It's not far-fetched. So I just don't see him doing it here in Tampa. I think that ship sailed.
Steve is with my co-conspirator at JoeBuckSand.com. He's written this, and I think he's dead on. I love what Steve said. You allegedly have the best quarterback coaches in the NFL here. Now, a guy who's fundamentally, who's a stickler for fundamentals, Clyde Christensen. A guy who's seen everything you could ever see on a football field, Tom Moore. And then you got Arians, of course. Then you've got Brady. You know, some believe this is the all-time great. I know some people scoff, but I still have a hard time pushing Joe Montana away. That's just me. So
all right.
Garth Brady's number two, okay? But you've got, the, you know, who some people refer to as the GOAT. You've got the GOAT to learn under. You've got all these coaches to learn from. Wouldn't it make sense if you're the Blazers or if you're Jason White, go ahead and draft a quarterback in the first round? We know Brady's not a long-term solution. He's not even a medium solution. It's a now kind of quarterback situation. So when Brady leaves in 2 to 3 years, you better have a quarterback ready unless you're going to, you know, tank and draft someone, whoever that may be. Wouldn't it behoove the Bucks either? Do you like that word?
Love it.
Would it behoove the Bucks to get a quarterback in the first round, a future franchise quarterback, and you could do with the Bucks like the Packers did with Rodgers. You don't have to force feed him. And again, he's going to learn from all these fantastic coaches.
In terms of the first round, Lee, I mean, I'm with you in theory. I absolutely want them to draft a quarterback and to learn under Tom Brady and these coaches. And Arians will pick the quarterback. Brady won't pick the quarterback. Light won't pick the quarterback. Arians will pick the quarterback. And the Blazers will back them up wholeheartedly. The question is, you know, how's the first round going to fall? Do you want to reach for a guy who's really not a first round value? You know, and get your defensive lineman that would make you happy at 14. And then maybe, you know, find a quarterback in rounds 2 or 3. What do you do? I think they absolutely should draft a quarterback. And I don't mean in the 6th round. And that quarterback, even if it's a first rounder, Lee, you're normally, you take a guy at 14, you think he's going to play right away. The understanding by everybody, especially the guy that gets picked at 14, is you're not starting. You're not going to start ahead of the GOAT unless the GOAT gets hurt. And then maybe you take over when the GOAT retires. And, you know, and maybe Brady and Arians walk off together into the sunset. But the future quarterback, the Bucks, has to start being groomed. And I'm not talking about you, Blaine Gabbert. You know what I'm saying, Lee? So I'm with you 100%. I'm not totally sold on the first round. But if it's a guy that Arians really likes and doesn't think he's going to be there past day one, you go and take him. Absolutely.
Arian's philosophy is, he told me this at the Combine. I don't disagree with him, by the way. It makes all the sense in the world. He's against having a backup that is good enough to be in the conversation that, okay, if your quarterback is going through a rut, a bad streak, a slump, that this guy should, you know, replace him. Arians doesn't like that. You know, he doesn't believe in that. He said, you have a starter and you have a backup. And he didn't say this, but I'm saying, this is my own words. Basically, what Arians was saying was, the old football cliche, if you have two quarterbacks, you have none. He said, you have a guy who's a no-doubt starter and a no-doubt backup, and that's how you roll. Now, we all know Brady is a starter, period, in a sense. So do you think it would be better for Arians and the Bucks to maybe upgrade the number two quarterback? Because, well, we all know, there's no doubt about it, we all know that guy, no matter how good he is, because he's not starting over Brady with the Bucks. That just isn't going to happen, barring an injury. So do you think, and I think I know your answer, do you think the Bucks should not put all their chips at number two quarterback, a guy backing up a 43-year-old, I might add, to be Blaine Gabbert?
I do. Now, look, you know, I'm not trying to compare myself to Bruce Arians in terms of QB acumen, but Blaine Gabbert hasn't done anything in this league. In fact, he didn't even play that much for under Arians in Arizona. Drew Stanton played more than Blaine Gabbert did when Carson Palmer got hurt. I believe Gabbert might have played 5 games for Bruce Arians. So, look, I'm not saying Brady's injury-prone. He's not. You know, he suffered one major injury in 20 years. That's not a man who's brittle, Lee. And anybody could, you know, anybody could suffer knee injury. So I'm not saying that, but he is 43. You know, he won't heal that as quickly as when he was 25 when he does get hurt. So, yeah, I want a better viable option, because there's no question. They're all in for 2020. All the chips are in, Lee.
Yeah, and
there's more to come with running backs and a right tackle and another defensive lineman. Chips are in, you know, and why? Because their coach is Bruce Arians. Their coach is not a 35-year-old guy on the rise. It's Bruce Arians. He's going to be in this for 2-3 years max. and they want to maximize their success under him. And I think part of that is to have a guy behind Brady, not to challenge Brady. You're absolutely right. Not to challenge Brady. Everybody understands that. But as a safety valve, you know, look, Lee, the Chiefs brought in Matt Moore behind Mahomes, and Matt Moore gave him a chance to win, you know, every week when Mahomes went down. And they lost a tough game. I think they beat Minnesota, and they lost a tough game to Green Bay. You know, and Matt Moore played well. So give me a Matt Moore type. I don't want anybody to challenge Brady. Not going to happen. We're big boys on this podcast. We know what's going on. But I want a guy that can, you know, step in for 4 weeks and go 2-2. Is that asking too much?
No. And unlike you, I'm not very confident Blaine Gabbert can pull that off. There were a couple other transactions that took place last couple days since we last spoke on your podcast, Ira. First one is the return of JPP, and he seemed pretty on social media. He cut a couple of videos. He seemed really excited. He seemed pumped. Now, I don't know if he was tipped off that, hey, Brady's coming. My guess is yes, but he seemed really excited. Your feedback on the Bucs retaining JPP for at least another 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think most Buck fans could think free agency could get off to any better start. You know, keeping Shaq Barrett and keeping Bruce Arians' word that he ain't going anywhere. And the way you do it is franchise him if you can't get the multi-year deal. Now Landon Brady, and almost as significantly, bring back JPP. Lee, when he had a chance to cash in as a free agent. And you and I both know, defensive linemen or linebackers with the versatility and the professionalism of JPP and the competitive nature of them and the production are rare to find in free agency. And I don't care if the guy's 31. He's playing like he's 27. And Lee, to get him back in the fold when he had a chance to pursue the marketplace, that's a big plus mark for this franchise. That's a big one. I know they lost a defensive lineman, but they kept JPP, and you know who's the happiest of all? Shaq Barrett, because he knows that that's critical for his success. And JPP won me over last year, Lee. I was the guy that said cut him after that horrible accident, and he proved me wrong. The guy is a gamer, Lee. He is a gamer, and now he's a gamer for Tampa Bay for two more years.
I remember when his first year, those cutters last year, JPP's first year, he called up Cutter and he's like, you know, I'm not coming to OTAs. No, voluntary. I'm not coming to OTAs. Cutter said, okay, fine. I don't know if you remember Cutter talking about this. And Cutter's like, okay, fine. And Cutter thought to himself, yeah, right. And in that conversation between Cutter and JPP, JPP told Cutter, don't worry. I'll be in shape. I'll be fine. You'll see me at minicamp. I'll be ready to go. Don't worry about it. And Cutter was a little bit apprehensive. But, you know, what are you going to do? And he's like, oh, okay. Well, thanks for tipping, you know, calling, informing us. Thank you for calling. And Cutter thought to himself, yeah, right. He says he's going to work out. They all say that. Baloney. And JP came to Tampa Bay for the minicamp, mandatory minicamp, like he was a 21-year-old in shape. And Cutter said he was, right then he knew this guy was a professional because he kept his word. He told Cutter he'd be in shape, and he was in tip-top shape when he showed up. And that, I remember Cutter saying that. And then on top of what, how JPP handled that fractured neck, this guy's a warrior.
No question.
Ira, when we were talking after the Bucs beat Detroit, not only would you and I have been surprised, at least I would have been, if you would have told me Jameis would not be the quarterback in 2021 or 2020. Then you'd throw that on top of that, Tom Brady would be the quarterback in 2020. Then on top of that, you would say almost everyone is in jail because of a damn virus, and there may not be any OTAs or minicamp of any sort because everybody's quarantined, so to speak, self-isolation. What would you think if I would have told you that? What would have gone through your mind? I would have told you those three things. No Jameis after the Detroit game when he, you know, almost threw for 500 yards. No Jameis. But Brady's going to play, and there will be no sports of any kind in the month of March, April, maybe May, maybe June.
The world's been turned upside down. Like, not just the sports world, obviously. it's changed the way we're living. You know, it's a ghost town out here. Traffic's down, stores are closed. But Lee, you brought up a tremendous point, and I think it gets lost in the shuffle here. And I think the way I phrased it on Twitter, those final two games that Jameis Winston played in a Buck uniform were transformative for everyone concerned. Everyone concerned, certainly for Jameis Winston, certainly for Arians, like Glazers, and turns out Tom Brady. Now, as far as the virus is concerned, Lee, and you're right, we don't know how this is going to affect the OTAs and things like that. And you got a quarterback who's got to get used to, you know, a new system, perhaps, in some ways, new teammates, you know. But this is Tom Brady we're talking about, Lee. You would think you'd get a full training camp in August. I don't even want to think about this thing not being over by August, Lee. Huh. We don't even want to think about it. And I know how concerned you are because here you and I are doing this remotely. We usually sit side by side at a table.
If I get this virus, it might kill me. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. I know I have very mild asthma. I don't even carry an inhaler around. And I've seen stories. I've seen x-rays of people, victims of this virus, that had asthma, and it ain't pretty. They're on ventilators, and I don't need that. So I'm a little more paranoid than most people right now about this. That's why we're doing this remotely.
Well, you're coming through loud and clear, Lee, loud and clear.
I'm finally learning how to pronounce the poor guy's name, and he's not on the roster anymore. Chucky got Carl Nassib. He's going to be playing for Rod Marinelli. Your thoughts on Nassib leaving for the desert?
Well, I think the one thing that you and I can say, haven't seen Nassib for 2 years, he's going to give you everything he's got, Lee. And you know what? That's gonna earn the praise of Rod Marinelli. That's what Rod Marinelli wants. Give me what you got, and I'll bring out the best in you. And, you know, Marinelli's got a great reputation, Lee. Now, we know as a head coach, it was a disaster. It was an 0-16 disaster, and he's never going to get another head coaching shot, and that's too bad. And we know the job he did here in Tampa with the guys, not Sapp, but, you know, Sapp would have been great in any system, but the guys surrounding Sapp. And so he's going to bring out the best in Nassib. Look, he's a high-motor guy, and the Bucks are going to miss him, Lee. Strange guy in the locker room. I don't think I ever got a decent quote out of the guy. But
I never did.
But Buck fans don't care about that. But, you know, the fact is he was a pretty effective lineman and seemed to get along with his teammates. He wasn't a problem.
His teammates loved him, I thought. They always talked very highly of him.
Lee, in that sense, with his departure, it could add a little fuel to the idea of drafting a defensive lineman with that 14th pick. I would lean that way. I think that's what they're going to do. Part of it could be is one of those great offensive tackle prospects still on the board. That could be a factor.
We know the Glazers love buzz. They love relevancy. They, you know, they crave that. You can't get any bigger buzz than Brady. This is international news. But nothing's going on. The only thing that's going on is legal tampering. This is the only thing that's going on. There is no basketball. There is no hockey. There is no baseball. For all I know, there's no cricket. There's nothing. So the only thing going on right now in the entire sports world is Tom Brady coming to the Bucks. The Glazers couldn't have mapped this out any better.
The Bucks are the epicenter of the sports world, my friend. Think about it.
We'll touch base tomorrow. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, you've just listening to the final echoes of the Ira Kaufman podcast, the emergency edition, Tom Brady chapter. Thank you. You got to have a one-liner here, Ira.
Lee, God bless the NFL for taking our minds off the coronavirus. God bless. But,